Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Well, thank you so much for being with us for another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Walter Storholt here with you alongside Bree Reyes, and back from the gallivanting nature of all around the country and all sorts of traveling. You thought he was gone from the podcast, but ladies and gentlemen, he's back today. Tim Estes, the wonderful team at Estes Financial Services, serving you in the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. Your investor coaches and CFPs here on the show each and every week. Always online at estesfinancial.net. Look what the cat dragged in. Bree, why'd you bring him back? We were having such a good time, just the two of us, these last few shows.
Oh, you know I missed my dad.
We're giving him a hard time. No. Tim, welcome back. It's good to have you on the show again.
Yeah, good to be back. I had to make sure that things were being kept to the standards, the high standards that I have set. So just wanted to step in and add a few thoughts to the podcast and make sure that the ultra high standards that Estes Financial is known for are still being met.
There you go. Well, we had, so much happening in the news in the financial realms, quite a bit over the last couple of months. And I think it's pretty interesting, your timing of coming back so that we can analyze some of these very important headlines. And that's going to be the main crux of our conversation today, looking at some of the things that have been happening in the news. And this first one, I said really important. Maybe this one's not so much really important, but it's an intriguing and interesting one nonetheless. And it's kind of interesting as we look at a few of these different headlines. Marijuana situation has been in the headlines a lot lately. It's become legalized in more and more states. We've started to see the stock prices of some of the different pot producers, if you will, creeping up. I'm kind of curious, as you guys analyze this, and Tim, since you've been doing, I'm sure, a lot of thinking over these, last several weeks as you've been, out and about, are you ready to embrace this as a legitimate opportunity for your clients? How do you view something like marijuana stocks?
Walter, this is a really good question. In fact, I think I've been asked it three or four times in the last 2 weeks. I mean, marijuana stocks have been the hip new rage thing. But as far as I'm concerned, and as far as we're concerned, it's not a legitimate investment opportunity until it is legalized federally. Because at a whim, laws can change. And marijuana is not decriminalized or legalized across the United States. It's in selective states. And even some of the states that do have it, we'll take Texas for example, it is medicinal marijuana for one use is approved. And there's still no dispensaries. I believe they're working on them right now, but it's not an easy to get thing. And so it's still really a gamble as far as we're concerned.
You have a lot of issues cropping up because of the state versus federal. I've got a daughter who lives up in Colorado, and she's told me some of the stories of how these marijuana dispensaries, they have to keep everything in cash. The banks will not let them open up a bank account because they're federally regulated, and they don't want to be accused of breaking federal laws or money laundering or whatever else the federal government may use as a charge against the banks. So, they're having to have armed guards standing around with AR-15s to make sure, because it's a cash business and it's a very much a cash cow. And yeah, it is a very attractive type of investment because sin sells. Think about it. Alcohol, cigarettes, strip clubs, marijuana, they all have public companies tied to them, and they all do usually pretty darn well as far as a stock. But until it is, as Bree said, until it's legalized across the entire country or at least decriminalized federally, you might want to be very careful about where you put your money. And for us, it's not something we would want our clients to invest in.
Is that a scenario you guys face every once in a while? Do you ever have an investor and a client say, hey, I don't want to have you know, XYZ in my portfolio. I'd like to not invest in anything that is tied to, you know, just for maybe moral reasons or personal reasons, you know, tied to alcohol or tied to, you know, smoking or just, you know, some of those sort of, you know, sin stocks or sin investments. Have you ever had requests like that? And how do you kind of navigate that?
We have. And it's kind of a case by case basis and what they're adverse to. There are certain people that are fine in alcohol, but want to avoid tobacco and that type of thing.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. It's interesting to look at the headlines. They certainly grab top billing a lot of the time. That along with, you know, robots and then particular kinds of robots are in the news a lot lately, if you catch my drift. You're right that the sin investments catch a lot of interesting news. So thank you for kind of sharing your opinion on that. I think it's an important one to consider. Another recent headline that we saw, you know, because of all the, you know, natural disasters that have happened in 2018, and I know the impression is that they seem to happen more and more frequently, and they also just jump into the news naturally whenever these things occur. And we see scammers pop up everywhere trying to take advantage of the situation. You know, in the aftermath of just this past year, kind of looking back, we had the hurricane in North Carolina with Hurricane Florence and the one in Florida as well. We had the fires out in California that were, gosh, just some devastating images coming out of those events. You know, certainly in Texas, it wasn't long ago Hurricane Harvey came through and we saw a lot of this happening as well. All of these scammers kind of come out of the woodwork. My folks live on the coast of North Carolina and their roof was damaged in the hurricane this year. And they were telling me they had to be really careful about who they hired, what contractors they talked to in the area, because there were so many, you know, I don't want to say evildoers, but I guess that's what they are, out and about. You had to just be really careful about, you know, who you're calling, who you're interacting with, who you're letting in your home and those kinds of things. What are some of the common financial scams that maybe aren't related to natural disasters, but that you think people should be aware of kind of as we, you know, turn the page on this year into 2019?
Well, you hit the nail on the head with contractors. Anybody you're hiring to work on your home, be it a natural disaster or just a hailstorm, you always want to do your background research. 80% of burglaries are committed by someone you've invited into your home. It's an easy way to case your house. So that's always a good financial scheme, is to take a hard look at your contractors. As well as lately, and we had this happen in my own family, calls to family. And in our case, it was my grandparents-in-law got a call from what they thought was my husband saying, I am in Mexico. He travels regularly, but I am in, I think it was Mexico, and I need some money. You know, somebody stole all my money. Please wire money to this account. And they almost did it. My in-laws were able to stop them. But this kind of thing is happening more and more. The, you know, mom or grandma or aunt, I can't get a hold of my parents. I am in XYZ country. Please wire me money. And so that's happening more and more. The other thing I'm seeing is supposed accounts being locked. Basically, anything that has to do with your computer, emails, you know, the Nigerian prince emailed. I think we're all aware of that one, but you never know.
They still get sent out here and there. That's
hey,
for sure.
You know what? They're still making money. If they weren't making money, they'd stop sending them.
There's a great bit. I forget who the comedian is, but he's made a whole act out of this where he responds to these spam emails. I think he's a British actor or a British comedian, I think. And he's got a whole bit now where he responds to the spam emails, and then he captures and keeps a log of all of the correspondence that he goes through with these people. And he just keeps making these ridiculous requests until he starts to annoy them. And they start asking him to stop emailing him. And it's just, it's really hilarious. I'll have to look it up and see if I can find it while we're talking to tell people to go check it out.
Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. The other thing is we had a computer expert come into our office yesterday to kind of clean up, do the annual cleanup on all the computers. And they were talking about this ransomware issue of people hacking into your computer and then holding it hostage. And the only way that they will accept currency, you have to pay them. And the only currency they'll accept is a cyber currency, a Bitcoin or something like that. And most people, or at least most people I know, don't have access to Bitcoin. They're not Bitcoin miners. And so then it becomes an overall giant problem.
Yeah, I just throw away the computer at that point. just get rid of that thing. By the way, the comedian's name, I think he's been in a couple of like commercials for Wix.com. You might recognize him with kind of the big glasses. James Veitch? not sure how to pronounce his name, but just YouTube James Vitch and then like spam email and you'll get the routine. It's pretty good stuff. Well, that's good, though. I mean, we all need to be aware of some of those scams that are out there, especially from a financial standpoint. If you have a question, if you pause as you're reading and looking at something, let that be a little light bulb that goes off in your head, right? Let that be the notice that you need to do some more digging and make sure that you don't just, you know, willy-nilly click on stuff and start putting in your information. That's never a good way to go about it. All right, this has probably been the biggest thing in 2018 as we look back at the news headlines of the year. And we've seen some volatility. And anytime we have a bad week in the market, and a lot of these folks have been coming out of the woodwork, folks will say, this is it. The crash is coming. And other people will say, well, it's no big deal. We were due for a slight correction anyway. How do we know who in the world's right when we have this happen?
Very good question. You don't know. You really don't know. It's called the future for a reason. You know, I dare anyone to tell me they knew exactly what was going to happen on September 10th, 2001, that was going to happen the next day. Nobody knows what's going to happen. However, you have to remember, even when the market does a big correction like it did in 2008, it always comes back. It always recovers. So our philosophy has always been buy, hold, and rebalance. And if you stick with that philosophy and turn off what we call the investment pornography and not listen to the fear-mongering and everything else that's going on in the media and just trust in the system, you're going to be fine. In fact, the clients that were with us during the 2008 drop, by the time the market bottomed in March of 2009, about a year to a year and a quarter later, they were all made whole because we were rebalancing down near the bottom. So that meant we were buying a whole lot of shares in stocks near the bottom. And so as they rebalanced going forward, the market just went on a tear. I mean, it bottomed out, what, I think the Dow was around 8,000 or so, and now it's up, even now it's up around 24,000. So that's a threefold increase. So just because it's local and it's pertinent and it's right now, right today, it's not the end of the world. You have to remember, you're investing for a lifetime. Even if you're retired, you're still going to be investing some of your assets so you can keep up with inflation and so that you have the assets to help you for the rest of your life. So if people are concerned about the market up and down, they need to just turn off the bad news, because that's all news is bad. If it bleeds, it leads. And trust in the plan that buy, hold, and rebalance is going to hold you in good stead for basically the rest of your life.
And that's also why when we do financial plans at Estes Financial Services, we use a Monte Carlo simulation to simulate good and bad markets, because we want to make sure the plans that we're putting in place can withstand corrections or market downturns.
The Monte Carlo simulation is over 1,000 different permutations or situations that the computer will factor in. So it may look at these 1,000 different scenarios and it will give you a probability of the success of your portfolio. Well, we like to look at a success rate of 95 to 97% that you're never going to outlive your money. If we can tell you that through 1,000 different market permutations or 1,000 different market scenarios, you're not going to run out of money, you can probably pretty much take that to the bank that that's what's going to happen.
Pretty neat to see all those different scenarios and really put your plan through a stress test. And that's what the team at Estes Financial Services can certainly do for you. Bree Reyes and Tim Estes, if you are a current client, we thank you for listening throughout the year this year. If you are new to the podcast or you've listened to a few episodes and you're just kind of getting exposed maybe for the first couple of times to us here on Financial Flight Plan, well, we thank you for tuning in as well. And if you've got questions about your plan as we turn the calendar page, we're we're publishing this episode right before Christmas and New Year's. So if you're thinking about your 2019 planning and you've got some question marks still surrounding maybe your financial situation or your retirement plan, we do invite you to get in touch. And there's lots of different ways you can do that. You can call the old-fashioned way, 817-444-8402 is the number. That's 817-444-8402. You can also find the team online at estesfinancial.net and on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. Just look for Estes Financial. That's E-S-T-E-S. And you'll be able to find Bree and Tim and the fantastic team there at Estes Financial Services serving you throughout the Metroplex. Well, to both of you, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today and for all of your efforts to educate us throughout 2018. And hope you have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll look forward to the next show in 2019.
Absolutely. And we want to tell everyone out there, enjoy the holidays, enjoy your family, have a very happy new year, and go out and lead an abundant life.